So the first part that we're going to do is what makes it unique? What makes davening as a woman specifically unique? You know, something I had always heard relating to the topic of tefillah and women is that women are, you know, tefillah comes more naturally for women, and women are more, you know, naturally inclined towards tefillah. And the statement kind of made sense to me intuitively, but I couldn't really find anything that explained it. Like, why is tefillah considered to be more natural for a woman? What about tefillah and women go together hand in hand? And when I looked it up in, like, the classic svarim or books that I thought would give the answer, they didn't really give such satisfactory answers. But I was still really curious as to why people keep on making that connection. And so since I couldn't find it explicitly, I decided to go the implicit route and try to find some connections implicitly. Okay, sure. Hello. So what I'd like to do tonight is just explore some themes, and again, we're only going to do this part in a shortened version, just some themes that might help us understand why tefillah is unique for women. And you guys have extra source sheets over there? Okay, good. If anyone needs, I have extras. I just don't like putting out like 1,000 in a pile. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is actually, if you turn to the back of your source sheet, just a one-pager this time, the Rav, in an article entitled Prayer is Dialogue, actually discusses 4 different media through which man can relate to Hashem. We're not going to read the source just yet because he goes through the first 3 first, which I did not give you. He says that the first way we can connect to Hashem is, you know, in the intellectual realm, by studying Torah, by studying Mada, science, literature, history, whatever it is that speaks to us. He says that man can really bridge the gap between his finite self and the infinity of the divine, that by delving into the wisdom that the world has to offer, we can better understand God. That's the way that we can relate to Hashem, you know, using our brains in the intellectual realm. The second media through which man can relate to Hashem, says the Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva of YU, the brother of Aaron Soloveitchik from here. So the second medium through which we can relate to God is the emotional realm. And this is really through Ahavat Hashem, through coming to love Hashem. And the Rav explains that through loving Hashem, our heart can cling to Him. And it's kind of like achieving dveikut b'Hashem, kind of achieving this attachment to Hashem through a spontaneous and instinctive search for Him. And that's how we can connect to God, not necessarily through the intellectual, but through the emotional, through just feeling. Right? It just feels right. The third way that we can connect to God, he claims, is volitional, meaning through shmirat ha-mitzvot, through keeping the mitzvot, and this is really more through action, that by bending our own will to God's will, we're able to connect to him, and we're able to raise ourselves towards him through our spirituality. Those are the 3 media through which we can relate to God before we get to the 4th, which he calls dialogical. The ability to communicate, to connect to God through dialogue. And this is something that we do in tefillah. He says that this is something that makes tefillah really unique, and that this is one of the things that is natural to tefillah. If you turn to source number 1 now, he explains, we wish to designate prayer as an autonomous realm, as distinct from the previous 3. The 3 media are one-directional. They are unilateral acts performed by man. Man transcends his finitude, but God does not respond by meeting him halfway. Right? When we connect to Hashem intellectually, we do a lot of studying, and hopefully we'll come to God, but God doesn't really move. Right? When we connect to him emotionally, again, we're working on our love of him, we're working on our fear of him. Really, the love is what connects us. But Hashem doesn't move towards us, we're moving towards him. And the same thing with Shmirat HaMitzvot. We keep the mitzvot. We do things for Hashem. We bend our will according to his will, but Hashem doesn't really do anything in return. Says the Rav that prayer is unique. In prayer, however, we have a dialogue which is bilateral and reciprocal. That prayer is not just something that we use to become close to Hashem, but while we're praying to Hashem, while we're engaging in that communication, in that prayer, Hashem is actually coming close to us. And he continues and explains that further in the next paragraph. In prayer, both God and man move. In the other 3 media, man moves, but God does not. Prayer, we said, is a dialogue, not a monologue. A dialogue exists when one person addresses another, even if the other is temporarily silent. Right? Our first reaction to this idea that Hashem is involved in prayer like we are, is that's really nice, but we don't hear his response, right? We daven Shmona Esrei, and we take 3 steps back and then take 3 steps forward into his presence, but we didn't really hear his response. And what the Rav is explaining is that, yes, that's true. We don't necessarily hear his response. He might be temporarily silent, but he will ultimately respond. We don't know how. We don't know when. We don't know why. But ultimately, Hashem always does respond to our tefillah, which will, Emirat Hashem, be addressed in our next segment of this tefillah series. What if Hashem doesn't answer? What if we feel like Hashem doesn't answer? And we'll discuss the Emirat Hashem in 2 weeks, I think, at Erica Simon's house. And now the Rav continues and connects tefillah to prophecy, to nevuah. And he says, in prophecy, God speaks and man is silent. In prayer, there is the reverse situation. Right? In nevuah, Hashem communicates with man. In tefillah, we communicate to Hashem. We have the assurance that he is a shomea tefillah, that he hears our prayers, even if he does not accede to our wishes. He is not necessarily a mekabel tefillah, responsive to our specific requests. Meaning that Hashem always hears our prayers, even though he may not respond in the way that we expected him to, or the way that we requested him to, Hashem will still always respond in some way, shape, or form. And history records that when prophecy ceased after Chagai HaMalachi, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly, continued the dialogue by instituting formal prayer. So that whereas from the beginning of history until the time of the end of the Treyasar, Hashem would communicate to man by talking to him, once Nevuah had ceased, Anshei Knesset HaGedola continued that dialogue by instituting Tefillah so that we can then communicate to Hashem by speaking to him. The words of the Torah continue to talk to us even as we respond through prayer. And the idea of, even though we don't know, you know, when Hashem is responding to us, how Hashem is responding to us, we are in constant communication to him because we speak to him through tefillah and Hashem speaks to us through the Torah, which is why the end of Malachi, who is the last Navi, ends with Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. What is the best tool? What is the crush that you have to lean on now that I will no longer communicate my will to you through my prophets, through my Nevi'im? You have my Torah. That's how you're going to know my will. That's how you're going to study what I want of you. And so the dialogue keeps going. And just to conclude, the Rav explains, dialogue means communication, engagement, and interaction. When we pray, God emerges out of his transcendence and forms a companionship with us. The infinite and finite meet, and the vast chasm is bridged. Right? So this idea that through tefillah we can actually bridge that gap that exists between ourselves as man, as finite beings in the physical world, and, you know, bridge the gap that exists between us and God, who exists in the spiritual world and is infinite, and really that gap can't, theoretically, we can't even imagine how it can be bridged, but says the Rav, tefillah enables that to happen. And I just thought it was very interesting that the Rav categorizes tefillah as dialogue, because, you know, we all have heard this before, that women talk more and women like dialogue more, and, you know, we have a natural inclination towards conversation, etc. Now, it happens to be that I was looking up, you know, different ways of proving this, and in fact, the most recent research claims that that really purports that that claim is wrong, that women do not talk more than men. We use about the same amount of words throughout our days, which is interesting because most people think that we talk more. We don't. However, what is known, what is upheld through the scientific research today about the difference between men and women is that we speak for different purposes and in different contexts. Men tend to speak more for a purpose in order to solve a problem, and women really tend to speak to create a relationship, to become closer to another person. And so we view dialogue differently, and it seems that this idea of tefillah as dialogue is not really to solve a problem, but really to create a relationship between us and Hashem. And in that way, this idea that women have, you know, are more naturally inclined towards tefillah started to make a little bit more sense to me in light of what the Rav is saying, because he's saying that, you know, the purpose of tefillah is to create this dialogue, is to create this connection between us and God, and that is something that as women we really do experience throughout our daily lives, that we use dialogue in order to communicate with others. And so it's somewhat natural for us to then take that, I guess, tendency of ours towards communication in order to create a relationship and direct it towards God, which I just thought was an interesting perspective. And finally, and with this we'll end, even though there's a lot more to say about it, but I think we're going to end here anyway. The Rav in number 2, in Worship of the Heart, explains that the dialogue is not just...
You just think it's over. Finishing the first half, you don't think it's over.
Thank you. That in Worship of the Heart, the Rav explains, yes, the nature of this dialogue, what kind of communication are we engaging in when we delve in. And he explains in source number 2, what then is prayer? It is the expression of the soul that yearns for God via the medium of the word, through which the human being gives expression to the storminess of his soul and his spirit. What the Rebbe is basically saying here is that tefillah is not just like, oh, Hashem, this is what I did today. What the purpose of tefillah is really to express our innermost experiences, our innermost feelings, really to communicate to Hashem the things that exist within ourselves, within our soul. And he moves on to say, when Rambam said that prayer is biblically ordained and identical with the service of the heart, which we'll actually get to in a moment, he thereby redeemed love, fear, and indeed our entire religious life from muteness. That until we had the ability to pray, we kind of didn't have the ability to express our religious experiences, our love, our fear, our religious life, our love of God, or our fear of God. It kind of was contained within us. But through tefillah, we have the ability to express ourselves. They were given a voice. The lover expresses his yearning, the trembler his fear, the wretched and dejected his helplessness, the perplexed his confusion, and the joyful his religious song. All within the framework of prayer. And so what the Rav explains is that it's not just any dialogue. It's not just, you know, informing God about what happens throughout our day, but it's really taking this ability to communicate with God in order to express our innermost selves, in order to connect with what we ourselves are feeling and, and you know, address God and engage with God in a real conversation. And I think that, again, as women, we have this ability, like I said before, we focus our conversations not just on in the words of John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, he explains that men communicate to express facts and information, whereas women communicate to express feelings. I'm sure that, you know, many of us have experienced this in daily lives. But, you know, this idea that we don't only view dialogue as a means through which we can communicate, you know, this happened today, this happened yesterday, this is how you should do this, but rather to really... And as women, we really do have that natural tendency to use communication to express our innermost selves and to connect to the people that we're speaking to by expressing our innermost feelings. And says the Rav, that's really how we're supposed to approach Hashem and Tefillah. So again, I just think it's interesting, bless you, that, you know, even though I couldn't really find explicit reasonings why Tefillah comes more naturally to women, I think that through these understandings of the Rav, it is a little easier to understand, because the essence of tefillah, of communication, of expressing our innermost feelings, really do get to the heart of what a woman does and the purpose. You know, even though we don't have any more words necessarily quantitatively than men do, the way that we use them, the way that we view them is different. And that is definitely like the natural segue into tefillah. And hopefully we'll be able to use that in order to engage with the sometimes, I guess, intimidating and overwhelming task of tefillah, which actually segues, I'm just